Welcome back to Charlottesville This Week. I'm your host, Marcello Rolando. My guest today, Doris Gelman, attorney at law, specializing, focusing on elder law. And we talked about a lot of things that maybe surprise people financially as they get older. But there are other issues, too. And one is crime against the elderly and who is committing it. And according to Doris, it's increasing. What are your thoughts on that, Doris?
Yeah, I would use the word exploding rather than increasing. The statistics that you can look at through the Department of Social Services, you know, have an increase every year that is, I can't remember the exact numbers, but it really is very significant, large increase every year, part of which is due to the demographic of older people increasing every year. Something like 10,000 people a day turn 65. So, the potential victims of this kind of crime is growing, so the number of crimes is growing. And when we talk about crimes, the one that I tend to be most familiar with and run across most larger frequency is financial exploitation because of the kind of work that I do. But I do also see physical abuse and neglect. And sometimes those things are all balled up in one. It starts as financial exploitation. And at a certain point, grandma or grandpa says to the exploiter, "No, I'm not going to give you any more money." And the next thing you know, they've been pounded in the face.
Oh, wow.
Or they're told, "Well, if you don't do this, I'm not going to get your groceries, or I'm not going to give you your bath, or I'm not going to take you to your doctor's appointment." Because these are people that they trust. Mm-hmm. They're their caregivers, either family or paid or whatever. Many of the perpetrators of these crimes are people that have found their way into the person who they are abusing, has found their way into their heart, and they trust them. And now they're at their mercy.
Yes, I went through this, but I was very fortunate. My brother, who has his own medical issues, but nonetheless, I asked him to move back into my parents' home. And his only job, as I would always tell him, is just watch. And anything out of the ordinary, call me. And he was good at that. But not everyone has a relative that can come in and just live there. What do you do? Is the same problem in professional facilities?
It is a problem. It's a problem everywhere. One of the reasons that it's a problem is that, and I don't want to lay this at every caregiver's doorstep, this is certainly not a blanket accusation, but as a society, we do not pay caregivers what they're worth.
Yes.
We don't pay professional caregivers, people that work in agencies and facilities, really a living wage at all, and we don't train them, so it's difficult for them to get higher wage jobs. And family caregivers are also taking time out of their jobs and their lives to do this work, and they're not getting paid.
Mm-hmm.
So what develops is a sense of entitlement that says, well, I'm doing all this work and I'm not getting paid for it, so I'm going to take what I think I deserve, or is coming to me in the will anyway. When mom and dad dies, I'm going to get this money anyway. I might as well use it now. So that sense of entitlement starts the tip of a slippery slope, and they realize, oh, I can do this. They've handed me the credit card to go get bread and milk for mom or dad, and I need bread and milk too, so I'll just charge mine at the same time. And that becomes very easy, right? And now, I've got the credit card. I might as well just fill up my gas tank too. And, well, here I am at Best Buy. Let's just buy a stereo. I work so hard. I deserve this.
Wow.
And that's how these things, they're very insidious. People, I don't think, go into it with bad intentions. Some people do. Some people are just crooks or have substance abuse problems or a gambling problem or something of that nature. That's often the case.
What are we doing in the Commonwealth locally to prosecute such? As you've pointed out before, it's not just scams. It's beyond that. But people we trust taking advantage in whatever way can be a crime. What do you do as an attorney? What can you do about that?
Well, we're very, very fortunate in this area to have something that we put together called the Jefferson Area Coalition to End Elder Abuse, which is made up of a multidisciplinary and multi-jurisdictional group of people, and I'll be more specific. It's the Commonwealth's Attorney in Charlottesville and Albemarle County. It's the Department of Justice and the FBI. It's the police departments, the sheriff's departments, the social workers at the county and the city level, the victim advocates, a couple of attorneys like myself, civil attorneys, and just a number of different types of people in different jurisdictions, federal, county, city, who are all sitting at the table talking to one another about these cases as they're reported and helping to investigate and prosecute them, which we didn't have for a long time.
Yes.
Social services had difficulty talking to the police, private attorneys. The victims of these things are said, well, you just have to go get an attorney and sue them to try to get your money back, and that's not quite accurate.
Mm-hmm.
So we're all talking to each other and coming up with a game plan to do this. And it is difficult. It's not like when someone is, you know, a drug dealer and the police chase them and they toss the drug out the window and they get pulled over and they've got the drugs as evidence and they haul them into court and convict them. It doesn't it doesn't work that way for this.
Gotcha.
There's a lot of complications in these cases.
All right, we need to take another break. We're talking with Attorney Doris Gelman here in Charlottesville, specializing in elder services, elder law. Stay with us. We'll be right back.